You are now entering Zone 4. Please be seated and prepare to experience the nerd aristocracy. Any offences encountered by today's broadcast will not be the responsibility of the Mars Sivex Consolidated Drilling Corporation or its subsidiaries.
Welcome to the Nerd Aristocracy, the podcast for all things nerd. Available worldwide at nerdaristocracy.com. The leaders of the nerd proletariat, your esteemed hosts, Jonathan Bell and Ryan Reinecke.
That is us, and yes. You are you. You are members of the proletariat. We are Jonathan Bell and Ryan Reinecke, the Nerd Aristocracy. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, Jonathan? What's up, proletariat? How is all doing?
It's been a pretty crappy day for me. I don't know about you. I think we had similar experiences today. Would you care to fill the proletariat in, or
yeah,
will it
sure.
be up to me?
Both Mr. J. Bell and myself, had auditions in the fair, stinky city of New Orleans.
That's true.
To audition for a regional commercial for Piccadilly.
Yes.
If you're in the Southeast, I guess that's a thing where you can pay, like, what, $8 and all-you-can-eat kind of dress-up buffet? Or?
No, it's not a buffet. It's like the Morrison's cafeteria thing.
You, like, choose plates,
yes,
or something.
You say,
like that?
I'll have the black-eyed peas and the chicken. And
yeah, so kind of like a glorified lunch line from high school.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Yes.
goes to show.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did a lot of research.
I know. I like to know
role.
My clients.
Yes.
Before
you,
I go out,
you do a lot of character research and product research.
And that's why I'm so wonderfully employed all the time.
Right.
So this was in New Orleans, and it was at Second Line Studios, which is a new studio they built down there, and a really fancy dancy facility. And for our age range, it was from 2 to 3 o'clock. I think that was the age range for 30-year-olds to 55-year-olds. Quite a gamut there.
Sure.
I got there at about 2:20 because I wanted to knock it out, try to get back here to where we live, an hour and a half away, as the crow flies, to do some work at one of my other jobs, prostitution. So I got there, and there was about 600 people there when I got there. Waited around for a fucking long time. Got seen only one guy, casting director, probably doing the best he can. Maybe he had an assistant that fell through or something like that, but it was just him. He was behind the camera, coming out in the cattle call area, calling somebody's name, and going back in. Seems like a lot of wasted footsteps. I made some comment to that effect when I was like, oh, it's just you? I thought you might have had people. But no, guy didn't have any people. I've never
that should help out
for him before. Yeah, yeah, because he's gonna listen to this.
Sure, that was
like, oh, fuck
it
that.
Never occurred to me.
Or old man Piccadilly. Now I don't want him representing my lunch line. Glorified my ass. So yeah, it was a bunch of waiting around. I mean, you end up driving round trip like 3 hours for dancing like a monkey for 2 minutes, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's just the nature of the
game. If you're you, if you're me, it's
yeah, you
5 seconds.
There.
Yeah, let me tell you my experience. Ryan and I both have different agents that represent us in film and television stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But since we are both roundabouts 30-year-old white males, we get sent in for a lot of the same roles. And so we were both sent in on this. It was supposed to be from 2 to 3 was our call time,
yep.
Meaning people auditioning in our demographic, you know, in our age range, gender, etc., were supposed to be going in between 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. Ryan, like a semi-intelligent, punctual human being, showed up. What time did you get there?
About 2:20.
Okay, about 1:40 p.m. Central Standard Time. I was running a little bit behind and got there at about 2:20. Ryan got in. He had to wait a little bit, but he got
about
in.
40 minutes.
I did not see him there. Apparently, he left right as I pulled up, based on our preliminary time frame timeline there. When I got there, there were about 300 people there. And to not sound like a diva, or trying not to sound like a diva,
they
I will say
the top of the list.
No, I'm just trying to fill the proletariat in. The reason why you have an agent is so you can have an assigned audition time. So, A, you can hear about the auditions that aren't open to the general public, and you can have an assigned time. So they say, be there at 3:20, you go there at 3:20, you walk in at 3:25, you say your lines, they either give you direction or don't, then they say, have a nice day, and they either call you back or they don't. That is the point in having an agent represent you as an entertainer. Yeah, so this was basically like a clusterfuck of an audition because I strongly believe those 300 people all do not have agents.
This is like a casino saying, hey, we're going to give away $1,500. Why don't you show up if you're interested?
Sure. So there were people there that I'm sure had never taken an acting class, didn't have a headshot. Yeah. So anyway, Ryan got in and out relatively fast based on the...
As I always do.
On the, right? On the clusterfuck that it was. I, however, because of my 20-minute delay, got to sit around for about 2.5 hours waiting as they slowly moved this long-ass line of people into the audition room, brewing, getting pissed off, hating people, wanting to punch random strangers.
Which is great for when you finally get on camera.
Sure.
To just bring all that with you.
Absolutely. But Murphy's Law, this is how my life works generally. When I was five people away from going in, the casting director comes out and says, okay, I'm sick of this. This is ridiculous. Takes out a flip camcorder, a little handheld, looks like a damn MP3 player, and just starts going down the line and saying, okay, slight yourself and strike a superhero pose and let's move it on along.
Wait, he did that to everybody? I thought he just did that to like the kids or something.
No.
You got flipped?
I got flipped. Oh, everybody got flipped. I didn't go into the audition room. I walked up. I said, Jonathan Bell, ... talent. I struck my superhero pose. He said, okay, a little bit more. Gave him a little bit more, and he said, all right, thanks, man. And that was that audition.
Wow. I got a great.
Oh, you got a great.
Yeah. But I think it was just one of those things.
Wow.
That was his way of saying, thank you, I'm done with you. But I think that's when he still had a buffer of time.
But I'm not surprised because I knew, having waited so long, I was like, at this point, even if I get in the audition room, it's going to be a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You know, right. It's going to be no personal attention. He's not even going to look at the fucking viewfinder. He's not going to care. I'm wasting my time, but I didn't drive an hour
and
a half.
He's just doing that to make everybody satisfied somewhat. Like
sure.
If you're in a crashing plane and they drop the masks,
yeah.
You think you're doing something by breathing oxygen, but you're just becoming
docile. Yeah, no, he had mailed it in, I'm sure, about an hour and a half previous to when I got on camera.
Great.
So that was a nice, pleasant way to spend the afternoon.
The charmed life of an actor.
Right?
Yeah, it's nothing but magic.
Yeah. It's so anyway, moving on to brighter things.
Elizabeth Taylor died.
Elizabeth Taylor died last night, so...
You know, I wish that she would have been a starlet in my time. You know, by the age that we got to appreciate, you know, actors and actresses and their celebrity and their renown, she was, you know, already over the hill. I mean, you know, I appreciate the legacy that she gave to American culture and cinema, but I really wish I could have been a kid coming up in like the 50s or 60s or something like that when, you know, she was an Angelina Jolie at the time, where it's just like still those beautiful eyes. She must have freaking been the devil's daughter to get eyes like that. Not since Elijah Wood have I seen such beautiful pools of blue eyeballs.
Those eyes got her 8 husbands, so
and 7 divorces, I think.
Right. I think she's
correct.
On par with Larry King. I wonder if those two ever got married.
No, they probably just shagged up in some costume trailer one day.
Besides, he's like 20 years older than she is. She was like 80.
He's like 100?
I think he's older than that. I'm pretty sure Larry King is like 200.
You're thinking of the Crypt Keeper.
215. It's not the same person?
No, no. He wore suspenders for one episode. I do remember that, so that might
okay.
be weird.
All right, yeah, I was confused. The suspenders always.
So
always.
She'll be missed. I don't really know the last big important thing she did. I'm sure she's been basking on her mountains of cash the last 30 years or whatever of her life. We wish her well in her next performance in The Great Hereafter, and I'm sure she'll come back around again on the merry-go-round of existence.
There you go. There you go. And other...
This is for you.
That's it. We'll both knock back a sip of water.
Cool Ozarka.
That's how I roll. In other celebrity news, I don't know if you had heard about this, but Brad and Angelina were in one of their favorite cities, New Orleans, Louisiana. Perhaps you've heard of it.
Fair city.
They were there recently. I think this was like last week with the kids, taking a stroll around the French Quarter.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. And they were accosted by what I am sure were Hollywood paparazzi. And that really sucks, man, because New Orleanians have been very understanding to their situation. And I think that's why they love New Orleans so much, is because most New Orleanians, when they see Brad and Angelina walking down the street, might say, "Oh, look, that's Brad Pitt and Angelina
well,
Jolie.
Really,
holy crap!"
Celebrity. It's sure. part of the philosophy down there, lifestyle. It's like, "Oh, look, there's Gene Hackman.
Sure,
hey, welcome to the city.
Sure,
all right,
yeah.
Walk on."
And they're not going to go up and cause a huge scene and want to take pictures
trash.
Of the kids and go through the trash and you know, sell pictures of Angelina getting the mail without any makeup
so
on.
So was it like a mobbing of
No, I mean, I think it was probably like three or four of them, but it was...
Where'd they come from?
I'm sure that there are several paparazzi that are on Brad and Angelina detail 24 hours, 7 days a week, and whatever city they go to, the paparazzi follows.
Now, reprehensible, but I mean, shit, that's a good job. If you know, somebody's paying their room and board, or do you think they're just coasting off of, you know, other slum pictures they've taken before and shacking up there.
No, I mean, I'm sure the four
Are
or five.
Flexing in the.
No. I was intimidating the frogs outside.
Give me a little water.
But no, I'm sure the major like rags have one or two people assigned to a certain number of celebrities. You know, Britney Spears has got to have somebody. Lindsay Lohan's got to have somebody.
Right.
Brad Pitt. Angelina.
Kind of the Secret Service. They have, as
exactly.
you said, their detail.
Sure.
Interesting.
So, but I honestly found it sad that that was happening in New Orleans, because I kind of pride, not necessarily myself, but I pride my city on the fact that...
Yeah, it's kind know, of like, well, should be, for celebrities, what France is for ousted despots. You know, you go to France if you're kicked out of your country.
Sure.
And you can, you know, live fat on the money you've stolen from your people. Similar with New Orleans. You should be able to live there in relative peace off the money you've stolen from the cinema boxes.
That's true.
With your eight children adopted from everywhere.
Right. All those countries where the leaders are now in France.
Why won't they fucking have their own baby? Have they done that? Or do they just not want to unleash that beauty on the world to rule supreme?
I don't know. Maybe one of them is sterile.
Impossible. I mean, Angelina can't be that, you know, preserving of her body with all the tats and shit she's done. I'm sure she's probably got some cut scars. She looks like a cutter.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that that they are purposely holding out for aesthetic purposes. I just think that maybe Brad Pitt's firing blanks. Maybe her eggs are bad. I don't know.
Come on. We've seen all the movies they're in. They can take a piece of their hair and, like, throw it into the zygote of Angelina and shoot out some kid in like 8 months.
Well, it's a possibility. Maybe you should.
I want to see that. You know, I want to see that ultimate human being to lead the people.
Absolutely, that seems like it'd be a pretty good deal. In other entertainment news, have you heard about the Book of Mormon, the musical?
I have.
What have you heard about it?
I saw Trey and Matt on The Daily Show a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And it's like the tightest rap thing since a birthday present when I was 8 years old. I can't find a scene from it. I can't find a song from it.
Right.
I can't find really pictures from the production. And I really want to. And it's amazing like how much hype it can get without really tilting that hand, which is really great marketing. It just goes to show, you know, the level of quality of stuff they put out is that people are like, okay, this is going to be great. And Jon Stewart just gobbed oodles of cum on them when they were on
the Yeah, show. And he normally doesn't do that. Like, Jon Stewart's one of those where if the... I mean, he doesn't have a lot of actors on the show,
right.
But if
he won't say somebody's bad, but he won't gaga.
Right. He's not going to rant and rave about some shit that's mediocre, in his opinion. So I would like to see it. I think it sounds... If Jon Stewart liked it, it's got to be more than the dick and fart jokes. You know, that I think in the past, Trey Parker and Matt Stone have kind of... Yeah, there's some edginess and some cutting edge, you know, pop culture shit going on occasionally in South Park. But there's also a lot of dick and fart humor.
Yeah, well, that's the padding. That's your potatoes.
Sure. I just not a fan of it, so I don't really watch the South Park and those kind of things.
I don't follow it. When I watch it, I am pleasantly surprised, though.
Right. Well, I like I say, I mean, I would love to see the Book of Mormon just because it really does sound like a good show. And it sounds like they're not completely shitting on the faith. They're just showing it in a humorous light, and you know, that's novelty, because the Book of Mormon, not like the Jewish faith, lots of jokes and lots of media and lots of pop culture and lots of...
Well, it's because the Jews control the media.
Exactly.
Right.
But what I mean is not a lot of Mormons in high power positions in theater or film or
music.
With the
exception of Glenn Beck.
I would not say he was a Mormon. I would say he is a fucking
lunatic.
He's a lunatic
Mormon that happens to
right,
have a very unfortunately.
But voice. I think once you rise to a certain level of lunacy, I don't
you
think
can transcend your
yeah brain. Yeah. I don't think any other adjective possibly applies. I think you give up attachment to all other descriptions other than fucking lunatic. Did you hear what he said? I guess it was yesterday, about the people in Japan. He pulled a Pat Robertson and said
because
that...
Because they're a bunch of fags in Japan. That's why they got hit by a tsunami.
Right. He didn't give a reason, but he said God is punishing the people of Earth for...
Because we all know, out of all the people on Earth, the Japanese really need to get taken down a couple of notches.
Right?
Yeah, they just don't behave.
Yeah, and they don't apply themselves.
You know what? Catholicism, not really big in Japan. I'm not surprised this happened. Are you?
Yeah.
Shinto
yeah.
this?
Because we all know Jesus was a huge fan of the Catholics. Anyway.
Well, yeah, well, he was busy drawing the floor plan for it.
Sure, yeah. Because everything in the Bible points to Catholicism.
It does, know? It does. Yeah. Right down on the grape juice.
Yeah.
And the transmutation. Now, that's weird. Not to derail, but I came up in the Catholic faith, not because, like...
I'm sorry.
You know, that's all right. Probably could have been worse. Could have been Mormon, I guess.
Sure.
You know, they don't give you... It's not like going to college where you get to meet with a career counselor or something like that. And they're like, okay, well, here's the different religious paths you can take in your experience as a human being. Kind of like, well, son, I'm a Catholic, so you're going to be a Catholic too.
Right.
Go to church, put on the tie, and pretend not to be bored. And that doesn't sound like my father at all. But in that, somewhere around probably, I don't know, 12 or 13, I thought it was really odd. Are you familiar with communion?
I am.
You drink the wine, you drink, you eat the bread, or the nice little styrofoam wafers.
I call that brunch, but go ahead.
That's Charlie Sheen too, I think. And the whole philosophy.
But I only have one goddess. Oh, isn't that sweet?
God.
Go ahead.
I'm starting to think that your girlfriend doesn't exist.
She
or that
doesn't.
She's dead in a trunk
she
somewhere.
She doesn't.
And you're just like extolling the virtues.
I'm pretty sure she denies all ties to me.
Might be that Russian bride thing.
No, she's from Mississippi. But go ahead.
Oh, right. The transmutation of all that shit is supposed to become Jesus' body.
Yes.
Supposed to become the blood of Christ. And then it became a certain point where I was like, that's really kind of fucked up.
Right.
It's like, okay, now my true faith is rendering me into a cannibal.
Right.
Is that the idea? And everybody... I mean, it's just all that dogma shit that where everybody takes it literally is like, this is really kind of messed up. And I remember one time I kept one of those little wafers in my mouth because I wanted to see what the hell I was eating. Usually you just get it in your hand and you're like, oh, thanks be to Christ or whatever, and you pop it in your mouth. But I kept it on like between my teeth so it wouldn't dissolve because it's kind of like those organic cruelty-free packing peanuts where once they get moist, they just right. kind of dissolve. Those are awesome.
It's like a wheat thin, essentially?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is it that hard or is it a little softer?
No, it is like styrofoam. Okay. It's like those packing peanuts. It's made out of the same material. It will just dissolve with spit and the wine. Catholic Church, do got to give it for them for this, at least the one I went to. Real wine. It's all right.
Very nice.
Kind of gives you something to look forward to. Notice they don't give it to you at the beginning of the sermon.
How do you think it is shipped to the churches? Is it in bottles or is there a guy back there? Is there an altar boy with a box wine like Franzia or something?
They have giant oak casks. And they have a friar that rides a cart laden with these casks, driven by a pony.
I saw that in a documentary one time. I don't know if you saw it, but it was called Robin Hood. It was a documentary done by Ken Burns.
Yeah, very famous Catholic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not many people know that. I don't know. They probably get it from Boone's Farm and just unscrew the cap and pour it in some fancy-looking gold thing made in China.
Sure.
In
Japan, though, because according to Glenn Beck, God hates Japan.
He does. I long for the day when shit was made in Japan. Like, if you find cheap plastic shit that today is made in China,
right.
if you find the cheap plastic shit that was made in the 60s and 70s in Japan, it's a lot better quality.
Sure.
Taiwan
used to make some pretty decent shit, too.
That's true. And then China just undercut them all, I guess.
Right.
But I kept one of those wafers in my mouth all the way back to the pew, which is the...
So I'm familiar. I'm not a complete
idiot.
Not
like idiot. PEW, but right. PEW. And kind of like Jew, but, not in the Catholic Church. I took it out of my mouth to examine it, and I was like, oh, okay, that's what it looks like, a little thin styrofoam kind of pale wafer thing. And I held it up to my dad. I was like, hey, this is what everybody's eating. And he's like, what are you doing? Put it in your mouth now. And I was like, okay, Christ, let me eat you real quick.
Right.
And it was just... I'm sure my dad didn't want to, have somebody turn around and watch me fingering the body of Christ in the middle of church and not being all serious and eating it and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So I remember that stuck with me.
Yeah. I'm right. And as you know, I'm not against religion.
No.
I'm a very spiritual guy.
Keep stupid people in line every day.
I have a lot of faith, but, and I think if it works for you, by all means, I think it's the mass organized religions that cause a lot of the problems. And that's what I'm against, because I don't ever want to come off like I'm against, spiritual people or religious people. It's the organizations that I think cause a lot of the problems.
Well, it's the hypocrisy. It's the concept of something to worship a creator of us all, but then the worshipers of that start excluding other people ostensibly that their God that they worship has created.
Yeah, I mean,
when I
heard Glenn Beck say that, I was just like, that's why the world hates us.
I'm so not surprised somebody brought that up, of like, we deserve this, in some religious aspect. I'm just kind of, not even surprised that Glenn Beck said it, but, I was expecting some religious nutbag to say it.
Yeah.
But I guess they did.
Yeah.
His name's Glenn Beck.
Exactly. I was just like, yeah, that's why foreign people and
foreigners,
people of different faiths, hate America, is because they see the supposed mouthpieces or talking heads that theoretically represent our point of view, like the fucking lunatic Glenn Beck or, Rush Limbaugh or Pat Robertson or whoever.
Well, unfortunately, those idiots are the loudest in our country.
Sure.
And you got a good point. That resounds the most overseas.
Yeah.
That's why if, you always hear a story of somebody who goes to another country, they're like, well, they were surprised to find out I was American after, talking to me for a few minutes.
Sure.
Because they thought I would just be like, hey.
Yeah, Henry Rollins, American, makes a lot of great points, but doesn't have the platform. Michio Kaku, American, makes a lot of great points, doesn't have the platform. I think that's the problem.
Well, yeah.
It's like
the target base they're talking to, too. Those people are talking to a little more literate people, where Glenn Beck will talk to all the mouth breathers in the world, and you know, all the people that used to be a linebacker in high school but are blown out and angry.
Right. Well, now that we've got everybody happy, let's talk about a feel-good story.
Okay.
Feel-good story.
Those are my balls.
Last week, two interesting wrestling-related stories happened, and I'm not talking the Hulk Hogan professional wrestling. I am talking actual wrestling.
That's actual.
Like collegiate wrestling. A one-legged collegiate athlete, wrestler, that wrestles at Arizona State, which is like the number one wrestling school in the country, won the NCAA collegiate wrestling title, and he has one leg. And I was wondering, I know that sounds like a hindrance, but in wrestling where you're like on the ground grappling with people and trying to grab them, would one leg be like...
Well, yeah, I mean,
literally a leg up. Would it be a benefit to have one less leg?
No, man, it's like having a one-armed boxer. I mean, the name of the game of wrestling is wrestling.
Right.
Wait, where was I going with that? But no, it's all about leverage and low center of gravity and all that shit. And you just, your options seem so much more constrained if you only have one point to pivot on the ground. And I don't know if like sweeping the leg out, Danielson, is like included in wrestling, but like hooking your leg around somebody's knee and being able to buckle their knee out and take them down, you that option does not exist.
Good point.
So Jesus, I mean, that's really impressive, you know.
But yeah, one-legged Anthony Robles.
You know, it makes me feel sorry for the guy he beat, because that guy will never live it down, and his girlfriend will leave him. Or wife, because you couldn't beat a one-legged man in wrestling. I mean, that's like some Irish joke.
Yes, I believe the joke is you couldn't beat a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest, which is essentially what wrestling is.
That's the name of the game.
So he literally couldn't beat a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest.
Wow. Yeah, wrestling, I forgot, it is Latin for ass-kicking.
That's true.
It used to be wrestlicus.
Yes. But yes, the other feel-good wrestling story is...
Oh, another wrestling feel-good.
Okay. Yes. An American sumo wrestler became the heaviest man ever to finish a marathon.
Jared?
No. This was Kelly Geitning, a three-time U.S. sumo champion, tipped the scales at 400 pounds when he began Sunday's Los Angeles Marathon, and he finished in 9 hours, 48 minutes, and 52 seconds. But he did set the Guinness Book World Records record for becoming the heaviest person ever to complete and finish the 26.2-mile race.
But they were jogging or something? I don't understand.
I believe he ran, and then he jogged, and then he walked. But he did complete the marathon.
See, that seems like the kind of activity a sumo wrestler wouldn't engage in.
Right.
You know, cardio.
Sure. Well, I'm sure it's a little rough on the joints, too.
Yeah, right? Good point.
I mean, that's why morbidly obese people typically don't...
I love that term.
Morbidly obese?
Yeah. It's just like, you're not even fat anymore. Like, you're a deathly huge.
A dead man walking? Yeah, that's kind of sad. But I mean, that's really cool, huh? I mean...
Yeah,
damn.
That's cool.
I mean, you and I couldn't finish a 26.2-mile race.
No, I got better things to do.
Sure. Yeah. And also, you couldn't do it even if you had the time.
Right.
26.2 miles, dude, that is a long fucking
In 9 hours? That's like, you know, a good half a day practically. I could do it in 9 hours. Maybe.
Well, I mean, we could probably walk it, but...
Right.
You know,
add
another 300 pounds to your frame and tell me how you do.
No, man, they'd have to cut me out of a trailer.
Sure,
that is impressive. Not as heartwarming as the one-legged dude, though.
That's true.
If this fat guy only had like you know, one leg, better.
Right. Well, I just thought you would like to hear. Would you like to share anything you brought to the table, or are we going to stick to my guns?
Yeah, let me see what I got. I have a little America fuck yeah that I experienced recently.
Okay.
Speaking about Trey and Matt from Team America World Police, America fuck yeah, saw some of the Blue Angels performing recently.
Okay.
Blue Angels were in their F-16s at local Keesler Air Force Base.
Sure.
I do some part-time work. Can't really talk about it. Okay. Well, I can. It's just about that exciting.
Sure, sure, sure.
Dude, these guys were tearing ass all over Biloxi last weekend, just screaming. And they flew over a parking lot that I was walking through, maybe about, I don't know, a couple hundred feet up. But it was just like you could feel it. You could feel your hair stand on end as they just tore the atoms in the sky. And I just got this unexplainable giddiness. And I was like, yes! You know, I just was filled with this, like, patriotic, yes, your tax dollars at work and totally worth it.
Yes.
Of course, they're not bombing my village.
Sure.
And I couldn't help but, like, see them from a distance, like, go over the horizon, like, yes. From left to right, like...
And imagine shitting your pants as they bombed your village?
No, and imagining, like, a delayed couple of seconds and just seeing, like, a row of fire spring up from the ground, like, in platoon after, like, a... line firebombing or something
right.
Like that. I even made that comment to somebody, but clearly they weren't in my head, so they didn't appreciate that.
Sure.
They were a general.
Yeah, yeah. My girlfriend went over to that for business-related luncheon, and they got the private tour. I was really worried she was going to leave me for a
dude,
pilot.
Those guys got to get fucking mad pussy.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, they're a pilot.
Thank you for telling me that as yeah.
I tell you after.
As I know. Open up and I say, hey, you know, I was worried about my girlfriend leaving me for a fighter pilot, and you're like, oh yeah, dude, they totally
no, she wouldn't leave you, she would just fuck him in the cockpit.
I see.
And she would totally stay with you and never mention it.
Yeah, I don't think
she'd be like, honey, where'd these wings come from on your ass?
Yeah she's she's not that kind of girl, I don't think.
Well, I'm sure they're not those kind of pilots either. But I mean, the formations they make in the sky, I mean, literally they're like 20 feet apart, wingtip to wingtip, and just flying mad ass all over the place. And it just impresses me when I see something like that, like an accomplishment of mankind, not only in the engineering of the machinery, but also in the skill of piloting it, that I'm just like, wow.
Right.
You know, go mankind. You know, in that moment, I can appreciate.
Well, I mean, that. I don't mean to brag, but I was pretty good at flight simulator back in like 93, 94.
Really?
Yeah.
The EMS?
Fuck yeah, dude.
That shit's kind
of ran it straight off of DOS on my IBM like 286. Had the joystick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude. I used to fucking clear house. And Top Gun on the Nintendo Entertainment System. I was quite the ace. Quite the maverick.
Wow.
Yes.
I never saw Top Gun.
Right. The closing music for today's show should be the theme, the Nintendo 8-bit theme.
Oh, wow.
To Top Gun.
Sure. I need to revisit that.
Yeah, you do.
Anyway, the America fuck yeah thing, Blue Angels, it was great. I just couldn't explain the giddiness that I saw from that. Playing into video games, recently got the PS3 Entertainment System from Sony. May they bounce back after their factories got effed up in Japan.
Sure.
Haven't had an advanced video game system. Last one we had was a PS2 with a broken tray. Had to keep putting our hand out every time the tray came out to stop it from just spitting onto the ground and being useless. And I'm very impressed with this system. I'm enjoying it immensely. I do not really like some of the apps that are on it, like the web browser that's on the PS3.
Right.
It really sucks. Like, phones have better web browsers, and I don't know why Sony doesn't care about that. And in fact, that brings me back to when I mentioned the hacker Geohot that Sony was suing the fuck out of.
Sure.
One of the reasons he cracked Sony's code was to be able to install his own shit on that main menu, the XMB menu, where you manage your user account, start mm-hmm. a game, and all that stuff. He wanted to be able to put, like, boom, Firefox on there or something like that.
Right.
And have, like, an actual, real deal, what could be played on the PlayStation to install on it. And Sony was like, no. You do not do that. And now I appreciate, you know, his fight for that, for being able to put his homebrew applications on there. And further, kind of don't like Sony for, you know, putting the smackdown on him and fucking suing the shit out of some 20-year-old kid that's probably going to be a billionaire when he's 30 because
right.
of the illegal shit that he's doing now.
Right.
Which is great how that works. But yeah, I'm loving that. The missus is playing some Batman Arkham Asylum, which is fucking wicked awesome. Have you played that?
I have not, but since you borrow a DVD from me every week, can I borrow that game whenever she gets burnt out on it?
Absolutely. Dude, right. You'll love it, because you just go around kicking ass in Arkham Asylum and shooting your little bat thing all over the place.
Is that something that is online? Like, can you play it against
it's not like
friends?
A multiplayer thing.
Son of a bitch, man. We need to find a used game, though, that we can both.
We do, we do. And I think.
And I
both
say used because we're both poor. That's, and we can
GameStop,
share that.
Baby.
We can share that with the proletariat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They can appreciate that, because everybody has been poor at one time in their life. That's not true.
That's not true at all. But no. You and I have, as professional entertainers. That,
mm-hmm. Not, well, not now, you know.
No, of course. Now we're sitting pretty. I'm just saying at one point, you know.
I remember what it was like. Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
It was like it was today.
Yeah, I remember back when we used to, like, you know, get the daily special at Popeye's for like $4.99 and then split that for dinner.
You mean before we recorded?
Yeah. Yeah, about an hour ago.
Yeah.
Okay. But hey, I know it's going to be too late to clue the proletariat in when they're hearing this, mm-hmm. but on the day we recorded today, which is Wednesday, March, whatever the hell day it
23rd?
Is, 23rd, Popeye's running the special, 8 pieces of chicken for $4.99.
Go back. Get some Popeye's.
8-piece mile. Make
but
it happen.
To wrap up PS3 real quick.
Please.
Arkham Asylum, really cool. Run around, punch people, but it's not so difficult. Like, the game does a lot of the fighting assisting for you, so it makes it enjoyable. It's not
sure.
Like you get your ass kicked all the time, so you're like, why am I playing this?
Right.
And we should totally get a game that we can both play, because we play games infrequently but enjoy them, so to go on some online thing and playing some kid in the Ukraine jacked up on Mountain Dew does no good, because we just get fucking sniped every 2 seconds.
Right.
I think we would like something that we can both be a little more even on.
Sure.
And I'm playing a game called Heavy Rain, which BAFTA, the British Association for Film and Television something or other, just gave Game of the Year for, and it's a Sony exclusive title, and it's really just a splendid, dark-ass game. It, like, makes me feel good about my life. It's so depressing. It's like you're playing Law and Order SVU or something like that.
Okay.
Like, you play 5 different characters, there's a murderer on the loose, that is abducting kids and killing them and shit, and you play different characters in that storyline and jump around, and the way you make your choices in the game is really dynamic, because you kind of choose how you interact with people based on mashing one of the 4 buttons, the square, triangle, X, or circle, and these options rotate around your character's heads, and they'll slowly rotate around if you're in a cool, collected situation. But if the situation's kind of frantic, like somebody has a gun in the room on your partner, the ones will go in and out. The options will change. Like, if circle is, like, talk calmly, all of a sudden the circle will shake and become, like, an X, talk calmly. And the circle will now become shoot them in the head. So it's all about, like, timing and paying attention.
So it literally, like, makes you feel like a mental patient.
Yeah.
In Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, it gets you in that zone. And then Batman crashes through the vents and fucking batarangs your ass.
Yeah, he does.
Wow. So I'm super enjoying that. I nerded out a little bit on the Sony PS3 by hooking it up to my computer.
Okay.
Putting a media server on my computer. Now I can take movies from my hard drive external, connected to my laptop, through my wireless, and watch it on my PS3 in the other room.
Wow.
Pretty awesome. Free, totally easy to hook up. I'll give you the skinny on that if you have a hard drive with movies or anything you want to get out on your PS3.
Okay, I do not. You need to show me how to download movies.
Totally. Torrent, baby.
Yeah.
Torrent,
well, I'm just not that familiar with it.
Views, V-U-Z-E.
You can show me later.
I'll show you. That's for the...
Anyway, let's take a break. And when we come back on the other side, we can do it to it.
Hey, Jack. I just got back. Still looking for the place to call the Chicken Shack. It's as fine as wine and strictly on the ball. No windows, no doors, it's just a hole in the wall.
And welcome back to the Nerd Aristocracy.
Aristocracy.
Yes. It amazes me how people still get that wrong, and we say it, you know, in the podcast.
Sure.
Which is impressive.
Numerous times.
Or I don't know if they just get to the website and they're like, okay, I got the idea, fuck it. Now listen to a show.
So I heard about something that was very entertaining to me.
Does that have to do with that burrito on your screen right
it
there?
It does have to do with the burrito on my screen.
Let the users see that.
I'm going to get a little bit closer to the mic so I don't have to turn away to read it. Because I want to read the entire, I mean, it's only like two paragraphs, but I want to read the entire article because this is just epic. That's the only adjective to describe it. One of my favorite movies ever is Falling Down with Michael Douglas. About a blue-collar guy who's just had his fill of people and their stupidity and life in America at times, and he just goes over the edge. And so this is the story of the week, in my opinion, a real-life Falling Down. Okay, headline, Taco Bell fan rages after price of burrito rises, shoots at cops, and triggers 3.5 hour standoff. Now, I'm not condoning this. I'm just saying the first thing I thought of when I saw this was, wow, this dude really pulled a Falling Down. A disgruntled Texas taco lover shot at police and triggered a 3.5 hour standoff after he became upset that the price of his favorite fast food snack had gone up 50 cents. The man, whose name was not disclosed, allegedly flew into a rage Sunday when a drive-thru attendant at a San Antonio Taco Bell told him that the price of the Beefy Crunch Burrito had risen to $1.49 from 99 cents. The San Antonio Express News reported. They did used to be 99 cents, but that was just a promotion, restaurant manager Brian Tillerson told the paper. The man ordered 7 of them, adding an extra $3.50 plus tax to his bill, the paper said. Tillerson told police that the man got angry, pulled out a gun, and fired at him before fleeing into the parking lot. Employees and customers then spotted the man pulling an assault rifle and a handgun out of the roof of his Mitsubishi Eclipse, the paper said, but he took off just as police arrived. Patrol cars tailed him for about 2 miles before pulling him over, police said. The gunman then fired at police with an assault rifle.
Always a good idea.
Shattering a windshield but missing the officers as cops shot back. The gunman sped off again and eventually barricaded himself in a motel near Interstate 10, cops said. As sharpshooters posted upon nearby roofs and authorities began evacuating nearby buildings, negotiators used a megaphone to attempt to coax the man to come out, police said.
Free burritos!
Eventually, SWAT teams flushed the man from the room using tear gas and arrested him, ending the standoffs, cops said. He faces attempted capital murder and weapons charges, Tillerson told the Express News. And the man had caused trouble before. The weird thing is, he was here a week ago around the same time last Sunday. He yelled at me then, too. So apparently he was told the price had gone up. He came back a week later to see if, I guess, they had lowered the price since his last dust-up with them.
Well, he had warned them, I guess.
Right. They had not, and that's when he went fucking bonkers.
That's beautiful on so many levels.
Right?
I like the wildly shooting. And then going to his Mitsubishi Eclipse, yes, and getting his assault rifle.
Yes.
As I always pack when I go out to run for the border.
Right.
I think it's brilliant that, he didn't kill anybody. You know, thank God for that. The police didn't blow his face off. Yeah, it's good for that. But holy shit. I mean, granted, that's 50 cents on a dollar menu item. I mean, that's like, what? My math is very poor. It's like a 50% increase or 150%
increase. That is a 50% increase.
That is kind of bonkers. Adding $3 to his bill. When I go to Taco Bell, I get upset if I spend over $3. So right. I can see adding to that really kind of edging you out. And I want to hear this guy's backstory. You know, clearly that was a kettle that was already at like a rolling simmer. I want to hear the weeks that led up to that put that guy in, I'm sure, a very fine motel.
Sure.
In the first place. And lastly, everything's bigger in Texas.
That's true, including their assault rifles.
And their burritos.
But yeah, so I found that to be interesting. And in other interesting news, Republicans would like to change pie.
From apple to cherry?
No, the mathematical...
Thing.
Standard rule, theorem of pi, currently at 3.14 ...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a math nerd, so I'll leave that to some of our...
3.14
Yes. And, yes.
Mainly professors.
They would like to change pi. Congresswoman Martha Roby, who's a Republican from Alabama, is sponsoring H.R. 205.
Not surprised.
The geometric, right, the Geometric Simplification Act, declaring the Euclidean mathematical constant of pi to be precisely 3. The bill comes in response to data and rankings from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which rated the United States 15-year-olds 25th in the world in mathematics. So this is a great thing.
And it's because of that pesky pie.
Not only does she think that you can change a mathematical constant...
Funny that that's what it is.
Of
constant.
Three, right, of 3.14 ... like, at your discretion,
mm-hmm.
like, you can just change it.
Well, legislation can do anything.
You know, I mean, it's like, you know, instead of saying that...
We don't want it to rain anymore during the month of April.
Right. Instead of saying there are, you know, 90 degrees in a triangle, you can just say, I'd rather it be 100. I think...
So 180.
100 is much better.
180 degrees.
Okay.
All right.
I
just want to point that out. You're wrong.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. But I understand the principle of that. Yeah, it surprises me until you say blah blah Republican of blah blah Alabama.
And like, and by the way,
okay.
In my defense, let me reiterate,
uh-huh.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Math, not my strong point.
Nor I.
36 on the ACT in English. 36 in reading, 16 in math.
Really?
Yes.
That's quite a gulf, dude.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, I had. I actually had a college.
Nice.
Yes, I had actually had a college call because they thought I cheated to get my 36 in two categories because they said, "Shirley, he can't be this dumb in math."
And you said, "My name's not Shirley."
And right, and this brilliant in English.
I'm sure shit like that happens all the time, dude.
That's what I said. Yeah. I was like, isn't every kid good in something and not good in something?
You do the
and
same thing. Like, Asians get like 42 in math and like
sure.
1 in English.
And they're like, yeah, but not everybody makes a 36 in two categories and then is a complete fucking retard in one.
Mama said I was special.
Right? In science, I was just kind of average.
Uh-huh.
I was like, he's all right in science. Ooh, look, he's brilliant in English and reading. Wow, this dude is a fucking idiot when they saw my math score. But anyway, I'm sorry.
No, that's it's amazing. I would like to keep tabs on that. I'd like to see just how far something like that goes. You know, for somebody to like put it forward is one step of just idiocy. But for other people to get behind it and be like, you know, that's not such a bad idea, that's like the dumb falling the dumber. It's just like... a mathematical constant of idiocy.
Sure, sure. And you figure at some point, like maybe one of her interns or her pages or whatever they call, you know, the low-level assistants in Congress,
uh-huh.
you figure in drawing up this legislation, I know she probably didn't do it herself, but you figure somewhere before it was brought to the floor, you know, of Congress.
Yeah, those are people that still want to have jobs on Monday.
Yeah, but you figure at some point somebody would have been like, hey, you can't change this.
Yeah, that's like a backup dancer for Michael Jackson saying like, hey, dude, you don't need to inject any more rhinoceros testicles in your face.
But that was my first issue with it. My second was I love how the solution for us being idiots in math.
To change math.
Right. It is not to say, hey, maybe we should invest some more money in this. Maybe we should train our math teachers better. Maybe We should do something legitimate. Mm-hmm. I love how the first response is, let's just change the rules because we're idiots and we can't.
We're going to make a bill, H.R. 172. Let's make F stand for fantastic and not failing.
Sure. I think...
D for darn good.
I think that was pretty much her modus operandi of that bill.
Holy Toledo.
So anyway, so yeah, that was pretty interesting, I found. The right wing doing all they can to help out our children. In other news, did you hear there was like an earthquake or something?
California?
I think so. It was either California or Japan. I don't know. Do you think the proletariat is picking up our sarcasm here? I don't know.
I'm pretty good with sarcasm sometimes.
Or is somebody saying, "What? These dudes must not watch the news very much."
No, I care for nothing that's not in my living room.
Okay.
If it doesn't affect the price of my cores or my gas, then I don't care.
But yeah, huge earthquake in Japan, all kind of nuclear fallout. We're not going to get into all that good stuff. But I did wanted to tip the proletariat off to one of my favorite websites. Mm-hmm. That has been one of my favorites for a little while now. I was tipped off to it by a friend of mine who is a geologist, and she said, "Hey, check out this this website." And I did, and it is now one of my favorite websites. I go to it pretty much every day. And essentially, what it is the International Organization for Geologists. Have a centralized website, and on this website it's essentially a map, and every natural disaster and man-made disaster in the world.
Oh, fantastic!
Is located on this map, and what you can do is it has little symbols wherever there's something happening, and you click on it, and it will bring up.
That?
Environmental pollution.
Great.
United
Rush
States
Limbaugh takes a dump.
Right. Gulf of Mexico. The Matterhorn Sea Star oil rig is leaking oil.
Oh, good.
Yes.
I never heard about that.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No, I haven't heard about.
Yeah. That. Most people haven't, but yes, there's another oil spill in the Gulf.
Wow.
Yes.
We need one. You know.
Right.
Every couple of months.
So, we're gonna post this right below the show. There on nerdaristocracy.com, and I really do encourage people to go to this website because it is a super cool website.
Educational.
And if you want to know what the fuck is going on in the world, this is up to the minute. It's contributed to by scientists, and all the information is good. It's verifiable. It's relevant. And if you don't want to listen to Wolf Blitzer or... you know, Bill O'Reilly tell you what's going on in the world, go to this website and they'll let you know.
Well, not to play devil's advocate, but isn't it a known fact that these geologists, so-called, make up these events to further their job security?
Ask the people in North Japan if a geologist made up the earthquake.
I can't. I don't speak gook.
That's true.
Speaking of Japan,
yes,
I had a great experience just last night with a friend that I made working at the military installation who is relocating to Portland. He is a very big aficionado of Japanese culture in the form of manga and anime and all things like that. And I did not know the wealth that landscape is. And I asked him if that would be interrupting his flow of hentai. And he seemed to be pretty secure in that no, it wasn't, because it's kind of delayed anyway because he waits for translations. This guy is... I like some Japanese anime and stuff like that. I don't collect any. I have Akira. That's one my favorite one. Everybody, if they're a nerd, can probably name one Japanimation film they like, whether it's Ghost in the Shell or The Giver or something like
Princess
that.
Princess Mononoke.
There you go. Ponyo, Vampire Hunter D. Take your pick. Okay. House Flying Castle, what have you. But this guy has broken it down. He is like Buffalo Bill with fucking butterflies. And he told me about the difference between Ichi and Hentai, where Ichi is kind of like Skinemax Japanimation, okay. where it's a lot of tongue-in-cheek and Red Shoe Diaries. You know, not so hardcore like hentai, where you have tentacles flying and piercing little screaming Japanese girls with blue hair.
Okay.
And the world that this guy possessed the knowledge of is just extremely impressive. There's like archetypes of different characters in that culture. Like there's a couple of different archetypes for females. Like the tease has its own archetype. The girl that's really sweet that you want to violate but you can't because she's so sweet has their own archetype, and it's almost like a commedia dell'arte with the different divisions that these characters can inhabit. Where was I going with that?
I have no idea.
That he's a very big nerd, okay. but impressively schooled on the subject. And Jamarcus, thank you for the information and the education.
Yes, and Jamarcus, please become active in our forums.
Yeah, sure. I would hope to have him give a dissertation sometime.
That's what I'm saying. And you and I really need to get our fucking act together and get the Skype thing working.
We totally do.
Because many people have been like, yeah, you know, I love the show. Y'all should have guests.
Yeah. And you guys are great, but...
Right.
Could be great with other people.
And so we need to...
I think we're at that point, though. We got a good rapport, and we can...
I think so.
Put somebody in the mix now.
I think so.
Right,
let's
go for that. You got to stay on me for that, because I'm fucking lazy.
Yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm. So where are we at now? What you got for me?
I wanted to talk about the first facial transplant in United States history that mm-hmm. took place this past week. At the Boston Hospital. Yes, first full facial transplant. The beneficiary was a Texas construction worker who had been disfigured when a power line apparently blew up in his face.
Fuck.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. So he's essentially lived without a face for 2 years. And more than 30 doctors and nurses and, you know, assistant staffs and stuff. At B&W Hospital there in Boston.
Is he the Taco Bell guy?
He is not the Taco Bell guy. But anyway, performed a 15-hour operation on him last week, and it was a success thus far. And
do they have like a before and after?
They do not.
Oh, okay. Guess we got to wait for that.
That's true.
15-hour? What, do they have like tag team doctors that go in? I mean, shit. I can't even stay awake for 15 hours anymore.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I think it's a they go in shifts kind of a deal.
That's awesome. That's great. Right? I'm so glad to hear that that was the recipient of it and not like trophy wife.
Sure.
Yolanda fucks a million.
Yeah, but no, I just thought as far as the science element to nerdiness, I think a full facial transplant, the first one in American history, was worthy of a little time here on the Nerd Aristocracy. So,
to my knowledge, it's been done like three times, like outside of the country.
Sure.
Maybe two before. This is the third time. But I mean, that's... I can't even imagine the level of complication that goes on there.
Right.
You know, picking up all those nerves and muscles, I mean... The most mobile face of flesh on the human body, aside from the ball sack.
Yeah, you figure they could have cured the common cold by now, but...
too much money in there.
But you and I don't have to worry about that, because we'll never have insurance, and we'll never be able to afford any of this shit anyway.
Or be around power lines.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But luckily, I can avoid power lines more than I can avoid...
needing insurance.
Right, needing insurance. That's probably going to... come back to bite me in the ass. In other nerd-related news, the NOLA Comic-Con is coming up soon, not to be concerned with, you know, Comic-Con in New Orleans.
Right, no, totally
but,
different.
But it's smaller, less elaborate.
Some cosplay up in there.
Right. Smaller, less elaborate Comic-Con. You know, the one that was about a month ago was sponsored by Wizard World. So that was the big dog. The NOLA Comic-Con coming May 14th and 15th to New Orleans. You can...
What is the differentiating factors between the two? I mean, why need there be two in New Orleans months apart?
Don't really know. I can ask my friend Patrick about that. But I think NOLA Comic-Con...
maybe we could go and cover it. and then bring that to the public.
That's that is why I'm mentioning it. I'm going to try and get us in there, and I think since this one's smaller and we have a bit more of a head start, we might be able to make that happen. So we'll see what happens. If not, we'll tell them to go fuck themselves. And you know,
we like the other one anyway.
Sure. Yeah. So that's that. Anyway, did you know we have another war going on now?
Another war?
Yes. Yes. No. They're not calling it a war, but we have had anti-aircraft missiles flown into Libya. They're calling this...
it's an exercise.
Right. They're calling it Odyssey Dawn.
Oh, God, that sounds awesome. Exactly. Where's Matt Damon?
Right? Or what's the name of that guy who wrote all those books?
Clancy?
Yes. Does that not sound like a Tom Clancy novel?
The new espionage novel from Tom Clancy. Read to you by Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. And the movie, of course, going to star Harrison Ford.
Get off my plane.
For sure. Not to be.
No, it's a very cool name. It totally needed to happen. I mean, come on, Gaddafi is shitbags over there.
I agree he's shitbags, but I disagree that we need to be the fucking police force of the world.
Fuck yeah.
There's
more of a honest to God coalition on this where we are not the main force that's over there.
I agree, man. Possibly. But as fucked up as our country is right now, do we really need to be firing off the biggest million-dollar Tomahawk missiles?
They're just sitting there.
Yeah.
Those things don't have a shelf life. It's like milk. You got to rotate them out. You know, you put the fresh Tomahawks towards the front of the aisle. the worst thing about it, if shit was just going down in Libya, that's one thing. If shit... was isolated there, if that was the only place of unrest, that would be more okay. The problem I see is that the Middle East is fucking boiling over, like forgotten about spaghetti sauce, and it's happening all over the place. The problem is, boom, Libya is solved. Now what about Yemen? What about Saudi Arabia? What about all these other countries?
Well, that's what
that
I mean. There's
out?
As of, I think, a year and a half ago when I last actually read about this, because I've been arguing with some conservatives about this, how they were saying, oh, we need to, you know, get Saddam Hussein out of power. You know, this was, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. We need to get him out of power, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's bad, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they were arguing for the war in Iraq. I was arguing against it.
Yeah, that was bullshit.
My point was, okay, there's fucking, like, at that time there were like 73 other dictators around the country that were just as bad, if not worse, than Saddam.
Yeah.
73.
But they didn't have like 3/4 of the world's oil supply under their fucking ass.
Yeah, but I'd say 20 of them do, because 20 of them are fucking in the Middle East.
Yep, that's 20 versus just one. Come on, do the math.
Yeah, and how far has the our success in Iraq driven down oil prices?
Hearts and minds, they love us over there.
Sure, I know they
do. Here's the Republican logic. Imagine how much our gas would be.
Right.
Like $8 a gallon, something like that. Yeah. I know, actually, that's the one good thing to happen from Japan, is that the gas prices actually went down, because they're the number one importer of oil, which is kind of fucked up, that gas prices went down after Japan got its ass smacked by the tsunami and earthquakes. Yeah, no, it's terrible, blah, blah, blah. I think Libya is much more warranted than what happened to Iraq. I think Iraq, a lot of people just wanted to see shit blow up. And Bushy Jr. wanted to go in there, you know, and make Papa proud and have something to hang his hat on.
No, I completely agree. I just, I mean, to know that it's continuing. And for all those, I say all those conservatives out there listening, for the one conservative probably listening to that,
that didn't shoot the computer after our Glenn Beck diatribe.
Right. Well, she's understanding. I just think it's ridiculous, and you know, we need to put our resources on the homeland and not afar. That's what I think.
Who are we going to shoot with Tomahawk missiles here, though?
I don't know. Canada?
They're all right, though.
It's an option. I'm just saying, maybe we can save our existing Tomahawks for a rainy day, and we can fucking spend this money. I mean, right now, what is it? 102 foreign military installations we have?
Mm-hmm.
We have military installations in 102 foreign countries. Or 102
military installations worldwide outside of the United States?
How about we have...
That's a big planet.
How about we cut that down 10%? Would 90, you know, would that be too much? Or would that be too little, rather, to have 90 foreign military installations?
I have to see where they're at. You know? I mean, what if just like, I mean, it could be just like a tent in the desert. Here I am playing Devil's Advocate again.
Yeah, well, let's shut that tent down. Send those two guys in that tent back
that
to their
tent
families.
That tent is a foothold against the other tent.
Right.
That has a different color.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure if we can fire a Tomahawk from, you know, 10,000 miles away, I'm pretty sure that we don't need that guy in that tent there.
Somebody's going to hold the tracking laser, man. So let's go on.
Yes, please.
You got something for me to spin?
I do have... have Orion Spins the News segment. Recently, there was a cute polar bear, mm-hmm. not a young polar bear, but his name was Newt, spelled K-N-U-T, and he passed away, unfortunately, at the ripe old age of 4.
Wow.
But they're doing an autopsy. And they think he may have died of brain disease. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he was in the Berlin Zoo and he passed away. So I need you to spin the fact that Newt has passed away.
Newt, as the Germans call him.
Right.
Passed from the Berlin Zoo recently to go to the great preserve in the sky.
Okay.
This is just another example of why we cannot cage the beauty and majesty of nature. Now, Newt lived to a ripe, as you said, old age of 4 full years, as much as you could have in captivity being a polar bear. Newt has now gone on to join his kinsmen that he has been separated from the icy north, because we all know Berlin is not that icy and not that north. So this, for him, is actually a sweet release. It's like unplugging grandma when she's been drooling and shitting on herself for about 6 months. It's something that just needed to be done. And the brain cancer that might have led to it is only a blessing, because that means he checked out long before his body did. You know, it's like when you call ahead for your food and it's ready when you get there. You don't have to wait around. And neither did Newt. So God bless him. And
yes.
Run on to the next ice cap. Chase that salmon.
God bless you, Newt. You will be missed.
Whoop, whoop.
Although they apparently, according to this article, Newt the polar bear may be stuffed and displayed in the Berlin Museum.
Awesome.
So while his soul might be moving on to the that polar ice cap in the sky,
we will not waste the body.
Right.
And I gotta make lampshades out of him?
No, I think they're gonna set him up so people can pet him and.
Wow.
Whatnot.
Go Germans.
Yes. Oh, Germans. Anyway, one more bit I had about the whole Libya thing. I don't know if you heard this quote, but Gaddafi said, if the world gets crazy with us, we can get crazy too. So just wanted to toss that out there, that while everybody likes to think, yeah, we'll kick some ass and they won't stand a chance, there are a lot of fucking nutbags in this world. And if we go around pissing on everybody's flower bed, you know, it might come back to bite us in the ass. That's
what was
all
that
I'm
quote?
Saying. If the world gets crazy with us, we can get crazy too.
Are you sure that's not Snoop Dogg?
I'm almost positive, but they look eerily similar.
They do.
So I can't.
Yeah, but not everybody's flower bed is so full of fucking penguin shit like Gaddafi's. I mean, he's got like his supporters basically being a human shield. You know, he's got like a house party going on and a couple of thousand people around his fucking ranch, so we don't bomb the fuck out of it. Which is pretty smart. I mean, once you like throw your hat into the shitbird dictator ring,
right,
and you're like, okay, I can do anything.
Right.
And people around you are like, yes, we will do anything with you until we die.
Sure.
That gives you quite a lot of leverage to really push that to the max. And, you know, he's being the ultimate bad guy. I mean, that's You know, he's going there. It's not going to end nice for him, but he is going to make some history. I could put that down in stone.
That is very true. Wanted to do one more in memoriam.
Hmm?
Mississippi Delta blues man Pine Top Perkins died this week at age 97. He is believed to be one of the last original Delta blues men. You know, the guy that played the juke joints in the Mississippi right. Delta, the musicians with the backstory of grew up on a cotton farm,
lived the shit,
that kind of stuff. Had a really, really interesting, you know, backstory. He had played guitar, and then I don't remember exactly what the backstory was, but he got in a wreck or something and hurt his hand or hurt a tendon or something and could no longer play guitar. So at the age of like 40, he taught himself to play piano and became very influential piano player as well. Worked with a lot of the blues greats, Mississippi boy. And died this week at age 97. So Pine Top Perkins, we salute you, my friend.
Play on.
Play Newt the Polar Bear a song.
The Polar Bear Suite.
Yes.
As Elizabeth Taylor works the room.
Yes.
Oh, man, what a beautiful scene. Black guy on a piano with a fedora on, singing the blues.
And a polar bear, you know, saying, play it again, Sam.
Being stuffed by Elizabeth Taylor.
Play it again, Pine Top.
And Himmler.
Did you know the phrase "Play it again, Sam" was never uttered in Casablanca?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
You knew that?
Do you know what was said?
Yes, but go ahead.
I forget. What is it?
It's something like I don't think he called him by name. I think he said something like "Hit that tune again, my friend," or like that.
Play my song, or something. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was not. I don't think you referenced him by name.
That's just amazing. It's like in Psycho, where people are like, "Oh, you know," at the time, the horrible stabbing scene in the shower, where actually there is no stabbing. You see no knife go into a body.
Right.
It's just the shots juxtaposed made that image in somebody's head.
Yeah.
Although that's a lot more, you know, understandable than somebody completely mishearing a phrase and it becoming part of our culture. So,
factoid about Alfred Hitchcock,
mm-hmm.
never won an Oscar.
Really?
Did you know that?
No. Why? Did they view him as like the J.J. Abrams of his time? Like, it's fun, but it's not serious filmmaking.
I don't know the reasoning behind it. But I remember learning that in film school and just being like, are you fucking shitting me?
Probably political, because from what I heard, you know, he was such a creative force, and with that could command so much go fuck yourself to the studio systems that they were probably like, oh yeah, well, you're not going to get a little gold statue of a man.
Right.
And he could probably be like, oh, well, fuck you.
Well, are you ready to wrap this puppy up?
I am.
All right. What are you nerding on about besides the PS3? Anything in particular?
That's it, baby. I got my nerding on in early. I mean, it's just nothing but heavy rain and fucking Batman lunatics right now.
That's it, man.
And that's awesome.
Make it happen. I'm currently still nerding my way back and forth between the love letters of Mark Twain and the Anansi Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And also nerding on a new Norm Macdonald special going to be coming out this Saturday night. That would be, what's this Saturday's date? If today is Wednesday, 26th. Saturday the 26th at 9:30 p.m. on Comedy Central, Norm Macdonald's new stand-up special, Me Doing Stand-Up. That is the name of it. Me Doing Stand-Up. Going to be coming out at 9:30. Norm Macdonald, check him out. Very nice guy. Had the opportunity to meet him
and
eat some chicken wings with him one time.
Nice.
Very cool guy. Very down to earth. I will be tuning in. And that's pretty much what I'm nerding on.
Good for him. He's got a special part of my soul. Like, every time I hear Norm Macdonald, I smile a little bit on the inside.
Yes.
I'm just like, yeah. I'm glad he's still doing stuff. That's fucking right on.
Absolutely.
Cool, man. That's some good nerding. I don't know about reading two books at one time. How are you juggling that? Is that all right in your brain?
Going back and forth, yeah. Because, you know, I'm have different.
Do you read them at different times?
I do.
Like this one's at night. This is my day book or something.
It really depends. I think when I'm wanna get knee deep in a novel, you know, I'll hit up the Nancy Boys. But if I'm going to bed and I know that I'm not going to be reading for 30, 45 minutes,
right?
Just want to read a few things. I'll read some love letters just because they're short and brief, and I'm not going to get halfway through a chapter and, you know, give up.
Cool.
But anyway, folks, that's going to do it for this episode. In all seriousness, on a serious note, our thoughts are with the Japanese people. We have been there before after a natural disaster. We know what it's like. We know the uncertainty. We know how crappy it can be. And our thoughts are with you.
Yeah, and I got to give a props to the Japanese people for pulling together in such a terrible situation like that, where Americans would freak out and bust into stores and steal shit. The Japanese people, you know, will come together. Like, I don't mean this in a demeaning way, like a colony of ants, and they will just get the job done, you know, in this emotional and environmental turmoil. And actually, an interesting thing that Jamarcus filled me in on is that the first people, the first responders after the hurricane hit within 18 hours of the devastation, not hurricane, tsunami and the earthquake, within 18 hours, the organization that had trucks rolling and rescuing people from rubble, guess who it was?
I do not know.
Wrong. The Yakuza.
Wow.
Yeah. They, of course, know every fucking body. And the Yakuza, for those that don't know, are basically the mafia, the Japanese mafia.
Sure.
And they had shit going on. And I was like, well, that's great. They've been stealing from their countrymen for years and killing people.
Right.
It's nice that they can give some back. And Jamarcus, my friend, was like, well, yeah, but think of it like this. In 5 years, they can be like, hey, remember when we helped you and your family out?
Right.
Now you need to go kill this person or give some protection money or something like that.
Be a mule with this cocaine.
Right, right.
Well, anyway, to end on a positive note, our thoughts are with the Japanese people. You can visit redcross.org, contribute to them.
You can donate from iTunes directly.
Donate from iTunes.
All proceeds go to the Japanese people.
So do what you can, and we will talk to you on the flip side. Thank you for listening very much. And have a good, good, good evening.
And a better tomorrow.
See you later, folks.
See you, people. Have fun.